some other online retailers have prices that are higher than Barry Gibb's voice, but not our friends at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Sestradino, podcasting on the road to bring you a very special SNL holiday episode recap podcast. And here I am with the man who is always very festive at this time of year. It's Rich Tackenberg.
Ho, ho, ho.
Rich, how are you?
Good. And to be clear, I am not with you on the road. My devotion to SNL does not include traveling with you so we can continue podcasting.
Yes, I am podcasting from a warm but rainy Long Island today.
Mm.
Yes. And yes, and I am podcasting in Nicole's parents' basement on the road. And as I said to Rich before, this is the podcasting equivalent of doing it in a twin bed. I am surrounded by Nicole and her brother and sister's stuff from their adolescence. I am looking currently at a seventh grade picture of Nicole hanging on the wall. So,
boy, that really is close to home.
Yes. Yes.
Is her christening dress hanging off of a bureau?
No, but there's a cat throwing up on my bag right now.
Any X-Files VHS tapes lying around?
No. Yeah. No. All right. So, Rich, first off, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Very excited for Christmas and the Christmas holiday. We've got our tree up here in warm, balmy Los Angeles. It's wonderful.
Yes. All right. Well, yeah, we traveled all day yesterday. We had a great trip with I traveled with a baby and a dog on an airplane, and my sister-in-law, and I kept saying like, boy, 9 years ago I started making this trip and I was by myself and it was easy, and somehow I've acquired a wife, a kid, a dog, and a sister-in-law to make this trip with me, but we. even though I felt like we were going to be the biggest a-holes in the world bringing a baby and a dog on a plane, actually, the baby was actually very good, and the dog didn't make a sound, so we were actually, we got away scot-free and are due for a horrible trip on the way back, if karma serves us any purpose.
I like that you're now just bringing a lot more baggage to New York, and I mean that in every way possible.
All right. So, Rich, you know, I feel bad that we couldn't get to this yesterday because this was such a big episode of SNL.
Whew. Was the show 2.5 hours? It was so packed with stuff.
It was jam-packed, and I feel like this was the finest episode of SNL that we saw this season. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. This was definitely the highlight of the year. A really, really strong episode.
Yeah, lots of fun. All right, so let's jump into it. And you know it's going to be a fun episode when we get both the host and the musical guest involved in the opening sketch.
I cannot remember the last time that the musical guest, unless there was a co-host, you know, musical and regular host, that the musical guest was in the opening sketch. That's very, very odd. So very, very cool on them.
Yeah. So here we go. Bring it on down to Rappingville. Now, there had been, I don't know if before the last time Justin Timberlake hosted, I watched this or one of the old like episodes that were on VH1 was on, but they had already done one of these where it was a Christmas episode, and Will Forte was a Salvation Army Santa Claus.
Yes,
and
this, it was Bring It On Down to Homelessville.
Yes. So revisiting a little bit of the holiday Bring It On Down sketch.
Yes, yeah, we've clearly seen this before. That's okay.
Yeah, they're really all the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, but now here's the real twist. It was about rapping and they were rapping.
Huh? It was clever. That was clever. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they did a good job. I mean, I definitely feel like, you know, this sketch has probably, you know, run its course at this point. You know, that I think this was our sixth time that we are the sixth.
At least. At least.
One, two, three. Omeletville. Homelessville, Plasticville, Liquorville, Veganville, and now Rappingville. So I think maybe – and it was good, but I do think, well, maybe rapping is appropriate. Maybe it's time to wrap it up. I think maybe we're good on the Vills for a couple of years. We could take a break. So
okay.
All right. So the thing I'm going to ask you is, even though I love the energy and the fun and everything about this, for most of the songs, could you understand a word they were singing?
It was a little difficult. I definitely the first one that they did, I could understand what that was, which I can't remember which song it was off the top of my head. But the first one, I was like, okay. And then, yeah, it was a little bit, you know, got a little fast, but I didn't mind it.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was, and basically they're doing the history of rap, which they've been doing on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. I think they've done like three parts now. So we've seen it before, but in this thing, a lot of good puns. You know, overall, I did enjoy it.
What was your take on sacking Dex?
I liked it. I liked the Dax sacking. I mean, it reminded me. I wondered if the uncle that was sacking the deck was also a professional cork soaker.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite wordplay sketches.
You didn't think that was too far of a reach to go for sacking decks?
They like left 30 Rock, went down 6th Avenue, made a left on like 58th Street or something. Yeah, that was a long way to go to get there. But you know what? Good for they can pull it off.
You know, one of my favorite lines in this also was when they first have the confrontation with A.D. Bryant and Justin Timberlake says to her, shut up, mom. I just thought that was so funny.
Yes, and there was a little thing on Twitter. There was a debate that was looking a little bit as to whether that was in the script or whether it was a response to a woman in the audience that had like screamed out a weird pitch right before he delivered his line. So whether it was an ad lib or whether that was part of the sketch, I think it was part of the sketch, but it was still pretty fun.
Yeah, it seemed like A.D. Bryant was a little rattled from some of the screaming that was going on in the audience. Like
yes,
there was a couple of just screamers out there, which really seemed to throw a couple people off throughout the show.
I think A.D. Bryant is probably definitely nervous when she's actually in a sketch that might get watched on Hulu and might be remembered. Like, oh, I'm in the big leagues now. And definitely yeah, a lot on her shoulders.
Welcome to the big leagues, baby 80.
Exactly.
I also like the can you handle it? Pointing to the handle. Yeah. Very, very good. Lots of fun in the opening number for Rappingville. I liked it.
And of the two of them, the pair, great delivery of Live from New York. I mean, that's just the scream right out of the song, right into the camera, the energy. Gorgeous way to start the show.
Great. So we come back out, and now we're getting ready for the monologue, and it's a very musical night for Jimmy Fallon. He's gonna sing a song for us, and he tells us that he's going to sing with David Bowie, Bob Dylan, and Paul McCartney.
Now, how quickly did you put together that Paul McCartney was going to show up for this one?
I didn't quite put it together. I was like, you know, when they didn't show up, I was like, you know, I felt like they did a good job being deceptive in that they said they were going to be there and they said they weren't going to be there. And then he showed up. I thought it was good. I was surprised. I mean, because they sold it enough that he was going to do the impressions of everybody.
Right.
Yeah, what
about
you?
I think just because Paul McCartney was the host of last year's Christmas show with Martin Short, and I feel like Paul McCartney, you know, for the longest time, they couldn't get the Beatles to come on the, you know, the show, even when Lorne Michaels was offering $3,000 to get him to come down.
Ooh.
And now I feel like, you know, Paul McCartney's kind of hanging out. Like, he must have family that lives in New York, and he visits them every Christmas, because I feel like he's now kind of like, not a fixture, but it's not a big surprise to see him on the show. So once he said McCartney and it's Christmas, I'm like, oh, okay, I see what's coming here.
Yeah.
But again, I heard the horn on the joke, didn't matter, still really fun, did a really good job.
Yeah.
And Fallon's McCartney impression is really good.
Yeah. My favorite line was when Paul McCartney first shows up and he says, "Oh, Paul, I thought you were stuck on a city. I was stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel." And he says, "No, I took a city bike."
Yeah, exactly. And I like that while it wasn't the most hilarious joke, I like that Paul McCartney is now at a point where he's so willing to have fun of himself that he'll sing a little Chipmunks with the high-pitched voice. I was like, okay, he's really game for anything these days.
Yeah, that was very, very fun.
Yeah, very, very fun.
Yeah. And then they sing a song for real, which right. was like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, nice. It festive, setting the mood, you know, fun over funny.
Yes. Okay, and so, by the way, is Jimmy Fallon the only person basically in the mainstream pop culture who's referencing anything about David Bowie in the last 5 years?
I did think the same thing. I'm like, really? Who's pulling that one? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always talking about David Bowie, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
All right, so we get out of the monologue and we go to a commercial. And we come out with the Family Feud Celebrity Edition.
I thought this was really fun. I mean, I thought a really good way to sort of reinvent how do we do, you know, 10 impressions at the same time without it just being the roll call like we see later on in one of the musical pieces. So, you know, Steve Harvey, who, you know, I hate when we see the Steve Harvey show in this, I thought was just like just the perfect amount. Again, I think this could have been Charles Barkley. This could have been what's his name? Politic Nation with Al Sharpton. You know, it's really just the impression doesn't change, only the mustache changes. So I didn't quite get it. But
yeah, this was the most I think I ever enjoyed Keenan on the show. He was really, really funny. He had a couple of really funny lines. I watched this one a second time. So he had a bunch of really funny lines.
But the line, my favorite ever, was when he talked about it being his second daytime show. And he said, "I just about reached my goal of being on mute in every waiting room in America." I thought that was genius. That was very funny.
He also said when we were talking about he's introducing Jimmy Fallon, he's like, "You know, you're so excited to be here. I'm not that excited, and I'm getting paid to be here.
Yeah.
Two fedoras a day."
It's like, yeah. This is where he really works. I mean, Keenan definitely works better in small doses. He's better as an MC than anchoring a sketch. So he did a really good job.
Yeah. And I also, at the end of the episode, he's like, "Let's go. We'll be right back." And then he says, "Heat up my old burrito from yesterday."
Yeah. Very, very funny. Very funny.
That was funny. All right. So let's talk about the CBS team. And we have a couple of impressions. Now, did it bother you at all that they were doing, for instance, Jimmy Fallon was not really doing an impression of Jim Parsons. Instead, he was doing an impression of Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, which I think is sort of okay for me. It didn't bother me. The thing that made me laugh is I felt like he wasn't doing Sheldon Cooper as much as he was doing his old French Stewart impression with a different hairpiece.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think it was the best Jim Parsons that you could possibly do. Like, I was really surprised. Like, out of all the possible impressions that they could have gone with, that was who they ended up deciding to have Jimmy Fallon do.
Yeah, and I would say I thought that the writing of it was very funny. Like, the writers kind of nailed. I love that when he when they buzz in when they're doing when they're up at the thing, and he just goes, Steve. Yeah. It was very clever, but his actual impression was lacking, although by no means the worst impression of the sketch, but wasn't the strongest.
Okay. And then we got both the guys from Two and a Half Men. Ashton Kutcher was very funny, Taron Killam.
Yeah, I thought that was the impression of the night. I mean, that was just such great energy, fairly accurate while still exaggerating, and funny lines. And it was like, "Oh, hey, Taron Killam, you're still on the show. Good to see you. I forgot you used to be the heir apparent to be the, you know, the breakout star of the show." So it was, and here, you know, reminded me why. Just very, very solid.
Do you feel like Taron Killam wears the same outfit to do Ashton Kutcher and Brad Pitt?
Exactly. It's just the same, you know, in the wardrobe room, it's the same hook.
Yeah, they have the same pretentious, like, scarf and skull cap.
Right.
Now, who is the actor that did from John Cryer?
John Millhiser, who yeah. you remember from such sketches as playing John Cryer in one of the other very short things that he did. Yeah, we're not seeing a lot of John Millhiser as the featured player. And he does a pretty good John Cryer, but after seeing Taron Killam do Ashton Kutcher, it just didn't hold up. But you know, it was fine.
We're due for a 2.5 Men sketch at some point.
You would have think that they would have done one already, but yeah, so far nothing good yet.
If there was anything pop culture related to 2.5 Men at
right.
some point.
If people were still watching 2.5 Men, yeah.
Yes.
Maybe when Bill Hader comes back and he can do his impression of Charlie Sheen, we could bring it all together and have 3.5 Men.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Allison Hannigan.
You know, I don't get that. My wife and I were watching this. I watch How I Met Your Mother every week, and I saw every episode of Buffy. So I think I'm a pretty good authority. I thought this impression was horrible. I didn't get it at all. And they brought Noelle Wells on mostly for her impressions. She does a number of good impressions. And I thought this was very, very poor. And I don't know why you would pick Allison Hannigan, because I don't think she's broad enough that there's really anything to do. So I was thrown by this one.
Yeah, it was odd. I actually thought the first time they talked to her in the introductions, that was better than when she actually had to give the answer and she talked about her dad's penis. It was almost like they were channeling the Allison Hannigan from American Pie. I thought that's what they were trying to go for, but it was definitely weird. Now, do you feel like is there any weirdness now? Now, Taron Killam is married to Colby Smulders, who of course works with Allison Hannigan on How I Met Your Mother. Is that I'm sure he knows her. Is
yes,
that
I'm sure?
Yeah, is that awkward when they see her?
No, I would say the opposite.
They love
I'm guessing that Allison Hannigan is so happy to finally be, you know, feel like she's mentioned in a pop culture reference that somebody gets that's not Buffy fans at Comic-Con making a joke about Willow. So I think she's honored to be lampooned in that way.
Yeah. And what about on the CBS, the NBC side of things? What do you think of Justin Timberlake as Jimmy Fallon?
Well, again, as an impression goes, it was horrible. If you didn't tell me who that was and you just had him doing lines, I would have no idea who that was, and JT has done some really good impressions. But of course, we're doing it because it's the inside baseball. Oh, look, he's making fun of, you know, of Jimmy Fallon, why Jimmy Fallon's on the stage. So from an energy and fun level, I give it an A. As an impression, clearly C at best.
You didn't think it was so great. So great. Yeah. It's so great. So yeah. great. So yeah. good. So good. Oh, yeah. What a good. Good impression. Jane Lynch I feel like it's more fun than funny.
Exactly. I mean, it was only thing that I really liked about it is it gave Steve Harvey the chance to say, you're so tall, we might have to 79.
Yeah, that was a great line.
That was a great line. And then Jay Farrow is Ice-T from, what did Steve Harvey say? Law and Order Special VU, which was very funny, which was a weird kind of Al Sharpton sort of callback kind of thing. But I thought Jay Farrow's Ice-T was really funny. I mean, that was a really good impression, and the writing was really funny.
Yeah, like,
he didn't bring his orthopedics.
And then what'd you think of then the fourth person was Brooks Wheelan?
As Brooks Wheelan, yeah. You know, a very cute idea. I kind of feel like we kind of saw this already when they did the, you know, game show, you know, new cast member or Arcade Fire, you know, band person. But still, you know, cute.
Yeah. when I liked when they announced what charities they were playing for, it was like, all right, CBS is going to be playing for the American Red Cross, and NBC is going to be playing for NBC Universal.
Yeah, it was very, very good.
Yeah, that seemed like a very biting joke.
Yes, yeah.
Very cutting.
Yeah.
but yeah, I really like this.
Yeah, I thought the only my only slight pet peeve, which I knew was coming, is, you know, here's the chance for Justin for Jimmy Fallon to break. But not only did he break because his buddy's playing him, but we actually had a completely unnecessary cut to normally because, you know, the show tries to, they don't want you to break. It's sort of taboo. You're trying hard not to laugh. And on this one, not only was Jimmy Fallon laughing, but the camera cut from Justin Timberlake on one side all the way over to Jimmy Fallon, who's doubled over behind his podium on another side. So clearly we were leaning into this, not leaning away from it. They clearly wanted to see Jimmy Fallon break once in the night, and this was the time. But yeah. So it felt a little manipulated, but still really fun sketch. And I'm imagining at the rate that we're going, we will probably see Family Feud Celebrity Edition again in the Drake episode.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that's good. I have always loved when they do Family Feud on SNL. I feel like it has a very good track record. I feel like it always is successful. It's just a good format for SNL.
Yes, definitely. And I think, well, now that they have sort of the Steve Harvey thing and a good way to use Keenan, I'm sure we'll see it again.
Yeah, I hope so. It was also funny to see Justin Timberlake as Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Fallon as Jim Parsons. It's almost like he's kind of like Spock in that. So he was like, had to sort of like be like emotionless and sort of like, you know, the opposite of the high energy Jimmy Fallon character. And I thought it was a very funny contrast of him like trying to stay stiff and be Jim Parsons while Justin Timberlake was being Jimmy Fallon across from him. And there's one point where they both sort of like look away to the wall, which they're clearly cracking up. It's just very, very funny.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the energy between the two of them was great. It was really and stuff like that, very funny, definitely. Yeah.
All right, so hopefully we see more Family Feud Celebrity Edition. It could be the new Celebrity Jeopardy.
Could be, yes. I think there's a good chance of that, yeah.
All right. Rich, it's time for a new music video. Let's do it in my twin bed.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, clearly you've already seen the show. So I was going to say, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. But if you've only seen it once, go watch it a second time. And if you've seen it twice, watch it a third time. Clearly, best sketch of the night. Just everything about the sketch was just beautiful. So well done. Great song. Really, the specificity of this was so great. And it feels like, wow, you would think about in 38 years of SNL, I don't remember them ever doing a take on this topic. And you know, so it just felt fresh and original and really good.
Yeah, it was very, very funny. I felt like the song, there was a lot of funny things in the song. I feel like SNL has been really on fire with their musical number, like the post-Andy Samberg era of music videos. I feel like they're really, really on fire.
Yes, no, this was really strong. And according to Seth Meyers on Twitter, this was written by A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon, and two writers, Sarah Schneider and Chris Kelly. Chris is a guy. But, you know, you could feel the fact that this wasn't just performed by women. This was written and performed by women. And it brought such great specificity and a great tone to it. Everything about it was really great.
Yeah. Do you have any particular favorite jokes that you like from this?
I think just the when they talked about doing it with shirts, no pants, like Winnie the Pooh, that just really made me laugh. And just the genius of them all bringing and using their actual like seventh grade photos or, you know, childhood photos. That was just so fantastic. That was really great.
What was your favorite seventh grade photo?
Oh, I definitely, I would say A.D. Bryant. That was such a great photo.
Yeah. Jimmy Fallon's was very funny. Did Jimmy Fallon have a mustache?
He did. He had an almost mustache, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
For some reason, I also loved the whole thing with Gene. I just love that idea.
Well, it's a whole big thing.
Yeah, now it's a whole big thing. That just was so perfect. That was so great. Yeah.
Did you like the certified hottie of JTT?
What was that? I don't remember
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, right.
The poster him. Then they like lip dubbed him saying like, "Oh, thanks."
Yeah.
I also liked the uncle that was on the floor.
Oh, on the trundle bed. Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Hey, don't mind me. We're family. Like, did you hear about Aunt Ruth? She died.
Yeah. Oh, everything about it. I mean, this is something I definitely think, you know, we'll be seeing all over Facebook and you know, and Twitter. And that definitely the, I would say almost the sketch of the month, probably. So I think we'll see this, you know, a lot. This was really good.
Yeah. So, yeah, very, very, very funny stuff. Okay, so then we go to commercial, and we come back with the return of the Barry Gibb talk show. And, Rich, to your recollection, is this the earliest in the show we've ever had Barry Gibb talk show?
Yes, that most, I mean, normally this is a post-update sketch, and I think this is just a, you know, at this point, we're really, we've got Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake co-hosting the show. You know, at this point, you know, we've seen Timberlake in every live, you know, sketch that the show's done up to this point. So bringing it back, you know, this is the first time that we've seen them do this since Robin Gibb died, you know, last year, which is, I think, one of the reasons it was good to have Barry Gibb show up, was sort of the blessing of the sketch. You know, even though Barry Gibb on the Barry Gibb talk show was no Lindsey Buckingham showing up and what up with that, but still, still really funny. And again, this is just fun over funny. You know, this was a, this is not a hilarious sketch. This is just so fun to see them do it. And I'll give credit where credit is due, that just, you know, we forget, you know, how important Jimmy Fallon was to SNL when he was sort of in his heyday on SNL, because this whole sketch is just about Fallon's performance. I mean, it's not the writing. It's, there's nothing clever about it. Everyone else is just there to have fun and sort of be second banana. And he's just, you know, just, he's at level 10, brings it down up to 10 again. And real kudos to Jimmy. Really great performance in this.
Now, was this an especially good edition of the Barry Gibb talk show, or have I just found it more palatable in this spot than I, because I don't ever remember really liking the Barry Gibb talk show, but I did like this.
No, I mean, you know, I think what my guess is, the reason that we liked it so much is we haven't seen it in a few years. It hasn't been beaten into the ground. You know, the Barry Gibb talk show for a while was like the Jebediah Atkinson of sketches after update. You know, we were seeing, you know, if JT was taking a cab down, you know, I haven't knew the Americas, he would stop by to do a Barry Gibb talk show. So I think it was just time away from it, because it's, you know, if you go back and look at these old sketches, it's the exact same thing over and over again. There's really nothing different about any of these sketches. So taking a break from it was really fun.
I did find myself last night stuck in talking in a Barry Gibb voice for for a while. Sometimes I will do that, and it's very annoying to my wife. Yeah. But
did you take a selfie with the skeleton? Is that what you guys were doing?
A selfie with the skeleton.
So silly. The only thing I don't get, and it's like, oh, if I could just get 5 minutes of Lorne Michaels' time to just sit him down and say, let me tell you what you don't know that all of America knows. No matter how famous she is, Madonna is comedy death. She hasn't been funny on SNL except for one Wayne's World pre-taped sketch where they could edit her so that her timing was good. Stop bringing Madonna on SNL. She's not funny.
Okay, Madonna was very odd here for a number of things. Well, first of all, what was with Madonna's hair? Madonna looked so bad.
I don't know.
So bad.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know what she was doing. And then, like, she pulled out the fake teeth.
Well, I don't get it. Why does Madonna have a grill?
Well, and, you know, someone, I think I was reading on HitFix, like, that there was a sort of a problem with the props. I actually think that that was an unplanned thing that she thought was funny that she decided to do on live TV to be funny. And Jimmy Fallon was just like, well, that's weird. And just kept going, didn't acknowledge it at all and kept going. And I was like, oh, please. She brought the sketch to a screeching halt. Luckily, they were able to pick it right up again. But that was brutal.
Well, you should have called her out. She's like, what are you doing? What are you? You're putting in fake teeth on my show? On my show?
Which is why I think that
I should rip your teeth out.
Yeah. If it was scripted, then that would have been Barry Gibb's you know, response to that. Yeah.
You're doing props? What are you, Carrot Top, on my show? Madonna was, it was, I don't know what Madonna was doing there, but whatever. And then real Barry Gibb comes out. All fun.
Yeah, and I love just the side note of just watching Cicely Strong. She played Megan Fox, who cares? But just watching her watching Jimmy Fallon, and just she just seemed like she was having the time of her life. I felt like that was a new cast member going, I'm on stage with Jimmy Fallon. I can't believe I'm doing a sketch with Jimmy Fallon. I'm in the Barry Gibb talk show. I watched this when I was a kid in high school. I can't believe this is the greatest thing ever. And so even that just made it so much fun.
Yeah.
And little trivia, and I don't know if people know, these sketches are always written by Steve Higgins, longtime writer, and as most of America would know him, the announcer on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So little Steve comes home as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then we have Justin Timberlake's first musical performance. It's a song called Only When I Walk Away. Rich, I had a hard time even understanding. it was like a cool laser show.
Was he on the stage or was he at the Hayden Planetarium during Laser Floyd from 1987?
I have no idea what this song was. I can't. If you had the TV off, I can't say, what is this? This is not even like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't
like
know.
It was like 4 minutes of robot voice, and it was like sort of like I was like, this is I wouldn't think this was a song if you didn't have the TV on.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what that was. The audience seemed to love it. Good for him.
Well, the audience got to watch a laser show.
Yeah, well, that's what I really liked the laser show. I thought that was really
that was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was very fun. I mean, cut to a dozen comments of people calling me an old guy here, but I don't know. I don't know what that song was.
Well, and also this may be a great song and it might have been a great performance on the Grammys or something, but on a live TV show to not have a band and not be able to say it sort of runs counter to being on a live television show. It just felt like this very pre-produced Kanye West kind of bit that, you know, okay, but on live TV, I just want to like he did a second song. I just want to see him sing. So whatever, he's JT. He gets a pass.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I feel like the ladies like to look at Justin Timberlake. Don't put him in the dark. Don't have a bunch of lasers in front of his face. Like, let people see Justin Timberlake. Sing your song, and then don't have a robot voice. And
I mean, apparently, he is the number one way to be sexy is being Justin Timberlake. That's what I was told by 89 people in America. So why not let him be Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. And imagine Justin Timberlake in a Japanese anime t-shirt. That would be doubly sexy.
That would be 90 people would love that.
90 people would love that.
Exactly.
All right. So then we go to Weekend Update. And I thought it was a pretty fun Weekend Update.
Yeah, very solid. I mean, I love. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and we have Kate McKinnon with another one of her one-off Weekend Update appearances.
But here's what I love. I don't think this will be a one-off. I think this will be a two-off or maybe a three-off because we can bring Billie Jean King back during the Olympics. We could bring Billie Jean King to comment on anything gay or lesbian. You know, was this a good Billie Jean King impression? I couldn't pick Billie Jean King out of a lineup. She could have been doing anyone. I have no – this was as good as Martin Luther King. I have no idea. But a great performance, really good lines, and just so I was so happy to see her do someone that we could potentially see again because she's so good at this. And clearly some of the lines when you know, like it was more about the performance than the lines. Like I loved when she was talking about how hardcore she is. And she said, I won 12 Grand Slams wearing glasses. And it was really the line is fine. But the way she said it was just so funny. So I thought it was really great.
I liked how she has superpowers like Aquaman, but with rescue pit bulls. That's very funny.
Yeah. I like what you said. There's no demographic in this world that gives less of a flip than 70-year-old lesbians. That just really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she was very funny.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, very good.
And then we had Jimmy Fallon came on with Michael Bloomberg.
Right. And my guess here is that this was NBC or Lorne Michaels or whomever in the corner office kind of saying, we need to do some marketing. We've got the new host of The Tonight Show and the new host of Late Night with Seth Meyers together. We need to promote it. We need to make sure people see sort of the handing of the reins. So I feel like they just sort of they kind of quickly threw something together to kind of sell this, which was more of a very sweet moment than it was a particularly funny moment.
Yeah. I felt like it was a missed opportunity to talk about how Seth Meyers keeps taking Jimmy Fallon's old job. I feel like they didn't.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Like, you know, Jimmy Fallon left Update. I mean, there was one person, you know, we had a little bit of a transition period. I mean, Jimmy Fallon was gone for a couple of years before Seth Meyers started doing Update, but felt like really following in his footsteps.
Yeah, good point. A very good point. Yeah.
What about Mike Bloomberg in there? I felt like Mike Bloomberg was like the third wheel here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I felt like he was the, you know, I hear from my New York friends that he's definitely, you know, sort of doing his legacy, you know, really wants to be known for his legacy, you know, as he's leaving office. I thought it was cute. I mean, I like that he was game. He, you know, and I'm almost glad we didn't make it about him, because I don't think most of America cares too much about Michael Bloomberg. Yeah, I think there were a couple of good New York jokes in there, so the audience went crazy. I like that he said he wants to fulfill his lifelong dream of drinking a small soda on a non-smoking beach. I thought good sort of tie into current events. So it was kind of nice just to have him there as just like, eh, okay, this is a reason we're doing this bit, but not too much asking politicians to do comedy.
Did you feel like we should have seen the clip of Jimmy Fallon introducing Seth Meyers on Weekend Update?
Yes, although I did actually track it down. I think I'm going to post it on my website. It was Seth Meyers. It was in 2001, and it was Seth Meyers talking about winning the office pool for March Madness, I think. So it was very cute. It wasn't great, but it was funny to see how young they both were. And it was Jimmy Fallon with Tina Fey, so we're going way back for that, which is very fun.
It's also going to be very weird to see the Tonight Show and Late Night, you know, filming in the same building. You know,
yes.
It's going to be very, it would be, you know, you could have Jimmy Fallon, you know, run upstairs from wherever, or downstairs,
yes,
or whatever, from, you know, from one show to the other. It would be really, really wild.
Yes, I think, and plan on seeing a lot of that. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we come out of Weekend Update and we go back to Waking Up with Kimye. Now, I think that a couple of weeks ago, I think I liked this more than you did.
Yeah, I think that I liked the Kanye West impression. The overall sketch, you know, I remember thinking was okay. I really did warm up to it in this sketch. I think this time, I don't know if it was a better written sketch, if they figured it out a little bit more, or if I was just in a better mood because the show had been so good up to this point. But I did think this was very funny. I thought they did a lot of good stuff.
See, I actually liked the first one, the first time they did it more than this one.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I felt like we didn't really cover any new ground here.
Right. And I still, again, I don't think that Nassim's impression of Kim is anything interesting. I just thought the writing was very good. I loved when she holds up the magazine and she says, "I'm starring in a book." I thought that was right. And then he asked her, you know, how she lost all the weight. And she says, "Healthy diet, regular exercise, and Photoshop." That
yes.
really made me laugh. So,
yes.
Yeah, I liked it. It was another moment when we see the Kardashian Christmas carolers. We see Bobby Moynihan as Rob, and I'm like, oh, I thought Bobby had the week off. Like, I didn't even know he was in the building at this point. So,
mm-hmm.
a strange vibe on that. So, but I thought this was good. I did not understand the video Christmas card. I'm wondering if there's just some pop culture meme that I missed because I didn't get that.
Well, yeah, the Kanye West's newest video is like it is very similar to what they did. So they did, and then there was
okay.
a big thing about the Kardashian Christmas card. So I guess they were doing a send up of the Kanye video of him and Kim on the motorcycle, and this was the Christmas version of that.
Got it. Okay.
But I felt like they really did not use Jimmy Fallon and or Justin Timberlake at all. I mean, Jimmy Fallon was just like one of the people in the Kardashian caroler band.
Yeah, no, this was a straight up, this could have come out of any, you know, this could have been last week on John Goodman. You know, this was definitely sort of plug and play. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I just felt like it was okay.
I guess maybe I just warmed up to it the second time. I did like when she, after she's building her gingerbread nightclub with
yes.
the with red licorice as red velvet ropes, and almost as an aside, Kanye West says she's an Armenian Frank Gehry. I thought that was really such a great throwaway line. That was very funny.
Yeah, I liked when Kanye asked her, "What's my dad's name?" Mr. Black Guy. I thought that was funny.
Yes.
And also, I also like when Kanye said about how, remember, Kim, you don't get hungry anymore.
Yeah. yes.
That was good. All right. So then we go to another pre-taped piece. Now that's what I call Christmas. And we have a lot of different impressions here. And I kind of feel like I didn't really get what the joke was other than impressions.
Yeah, I mean, I liked this because I thought some of the impressions were very funny. But yeah, sort of like the Guy Fieri Christmas special we saw last week. I didn't quite, you want to talk about, I didn't quite get the point of it, really. But it was some funny impressions. I also felt at this point, and again, I like the sketch, but I will say I really started to feel the December burnout of Christmas sketches at this point. Because I did, you know, as we talked about, I think, on the Paul Rudd, normally we don't do Christmas sketches until the last episode of the season. But I counted in the last three episodes, we had a total of 17 Christmas-themed sketches. So, and this was number, I think, 15 of 17 in a three-week non-break run. So I was a little like, oh boy, more Christmas. So, but that said, and also a little weird to see, you know, Jimmy Fallon do four impressions in one piece. Mm-hmm. So even though Harry Styles wasn't really an impression, it was him just sort of bouncing around in the background, which I thought was very cute. But overall it was definitely cute.
Yeah. And also it just felt like, it was a little odd from the Christmas show Jimmy Fallon did 2 years ago. They did the sketch of the Michael Bublé Christmas duets with yes. Jimmy Fallon. And I felt like this was really, really similar to that. And then Jimmy Fallon was Michael Bublé in this.
And did a very good job pronouncing every syllable, whatever that was. It was very funny. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, you know, seeing it this late in the show told us that this was something that they kind of were like, oh, okay, that didn't come out as good as we had hoped. So,
yeah. I mean, some of the things weren't even jokes, like Guns N' Roses. It was just like they, it was just like almost like karaoke. It was not really like, I didn't get what the joke was there.
I totally agree. And Bobby Moynihan as Andrea Bocelli was a long ramp up to, oh, he's got a squeaky voice. Oh, okay. And yeah, it was a little whatever. So.
Shakira was very good.
I guess. I don't know enough about Shakira.
I liked Pitbull.
Pitbull was very funny. And I feel bad kind of crapping on Noelle Wells again this episode because I generally like her. But she did Zooey Deschanel, and it just made me so mad that Abby Elliott decided to leave the show. And it was like, oh, Abby Elliott, Zooey Deschanel was one of my favorite things of the season. And this was a pale of that.
I mean, I also felt like it was weird to have Zooey Deschanel in a – we're talking about everybody's supposed to be a musician. I feel like it's a little bit of a stretch to call Zooey Deschanel a musician.
Rob, she is in the band She and Him, indie darling musical phenom She and Him band.
Okay.
And by the way, how would you rate Jay Farris' performance as DMX? How accurate would you say that
I thought
was?
It was pretty good.
To the nuances of DMX.
I thought it was good enough. I mean, I don't know what DMX is doing lately, but I felt like that was a pretty good job as DMX.
I was just watching it thinking, this is funny, and boy am I white, because this could be anybody. I have no idea. DMX from BMX. I'm completely out of my element on this one. So seemed like it was good, though.
That was good. All right. Yeah. So then we had the Christmas Carol, which was the Ebenezer Scrooge goes back in time and visits the Christmas past, and Jimmy Fallon plays the young Ebenezer Scrooge. What did you think of this one?
You know, I would say I actually did like this sketch. I certainly didn't love it. You know, we're now at, you know, 12:45 in the morning. They've had this huge, you know, a great, you know, batting average. So I'm expecting the show to fall off a cliff. I thought this was silly, you know, but it was just such a different take that, you know, we've seen 100,000 Christmas Carol parodies on every sketch show in existence since, you know, your show of shows. It, like, So this was just an interesting take. It was cute. It was silly. It wasn't their most brilliant work. It was great to see Taron Killam. I counted that in the last two episodes, he was only in three live sketches, which is kind of stunning to me. But I thought it was cute. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a funny idea, and it was just basically, you know, one note. Like, once you got where it was going, you know, it sort of like was there, you know. It was cute. I wouldn't say it was, you know, really, really funny.
Yeah, I think cute's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Okay. And then we have another sketch here. The baby, it's called outside, which took a turn that I don't think any of us were expecting.
I loved this to pieces. I just loved this. And this is something, you know, Fallon was sort of known for, you know, when he would do, you know, he did the Grease thing on one of his last shows, which, you know, just a big song with people. Just fun, sweet, funny, interesting twist, interesting take on things. Cecily Strong was very good. I thought it was just really, really excellent.
Yeah, it was very, very fun. So, of course, they take the turn of that now he's trying to get her to leave. that was very...
very funny. Very, very funny.
And then
his friend calling,
like, oh, it's my boss.
And this is one of those things where I feel like this only can work on live TV. Like, if this was a pre-taped sketch, it would have been mildly amusing. But the thing that made it so sort of endearing would have been lost and we wouldn't even have known it. This is what makes SNL so great. The fact that they were singing and it was well orchestrated and it had funny bits. It really played because it was live. It was really good.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And then I liked the way they ended it. You know, we talked about this with going back to Lady Gaga, that is it hard to end a sketch on a sincere note? But I felt like they really sold it well. It was a very nice button to it, and it was a harder direction to go than, you know, just to be like joke, and then end on a bigger joke. It was nice to see it end on sort of a sweet note.
Yes, I loved it. And I think you're right about the Lady Gaga thing. Here, easier because we're ending on a sweet instead of kind of a depressing or sort of reflective moment. But I also think that this works specifically because it's Jimmy Fallon. And this was the spirit of Jimmy Fallon that had, you know, that he's always had. And Justin Timberlake was even sort of mocking. I think if this was Will Ferrell, you couldn't have ended the sketch like that. It would have been too weird and we all would have been freaked out. It's the sort of innocence and fun that Jimmy brings to SNL that lets us end basically the episode on a really kind of sweet, warm note, which was very, very
cool. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I also liked it when he was trying to convince her to leave, he's singing, baby, it's warm outside. You could still catch a bus.
If it wasn't for the glorious twin bed sketch, this would have been my sketch of the week. Yeah. But it's a great runner-up.
I also like that it was 12 minutes later.
Exactly.
Yes. And then another Justin Timberlake song, and full disclosure, I did not get to see this second song. So, Rich, what was your take on the second Justin Timberlake performance?
It was good. I thought it was good. I mean, compared to what we had just seen, of Justin Timberlake with sort of the Laser Light Show, it was like, well, this is what I would want to see if I was a Justin Timberlake fan. You know, it was fine. I never loved JT's music, so whatever. But I thought it was good. Yeah, I know.
All right. And then what about the closing wrap up? Were you satisfied with everybody on the stage?
And including Chris Rock? Why was Chris Rock there? It was so odd.
Well, that's interesting, though. Is Chris Rock a persona non grata around SNL? I mean, in all the success that he's had, has Chris Rock ever come back and hosted the show?
I think he has, and I'm going to tell you in a minute. That's a really good question. I know that he's not persona non grata. I mean, so I don't know if that – let's see. He hosted in 97, and then he hosted again in 2000. no, I'm sorry. So he hosted once in 1996.
Yeah.
So that was, I think, the only time that he hosted. From having heard him on different podcasts, I don't think he's in any way persona non grata. It's just odd that he, you know, he wasn't in a sketch. He wasn't doing it. It had nothing to promote. It was just, I guess, is he good friends with Jimmy Fallon? Is that why he was there? It was very strange.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like a lot of those, because has Adam Sandler ever hosted the show?
I don't think so. It's funny. I was actually thinking of Sandler when I thought, oh, how do you make this an absolute all-star Christmas episode? You have, you know, you have Sandler come back to sing the Hanukkah song during Weekend Update, but he's never done that. No, he isn't. I don't think he's never hosted, and I don't think he's ever been back, period, that I can think of. I don't remember him doing a cameo even with one of his buddies hosted, and I'm sure the gang in the comments can tell me. I'm sure I'm wrong on that, but yeah,
Chris Rock only been back once in November 2nd, 1996.
Right.
When was the last time Spade was back?
I feel like we've seen Spade a couple of times. I mean, I know he hosted in 2005. Was that the last time he hosted? Yes. Yep. He hosted in 2005.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's a presence. I feel like he's shown up on Weekend Update here and there. Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but he's certainly around.
Yeah. I feel like the 90s cast, the David Spades, the Chris Rocks, the Adam Sandlers, of course, Farley is gone, but especially right. Tim Meadows that we were talking about on the last episode right. that we did. Like, I kind of feel like that 90s cast is almost like forgotten and not really Rob Schneider. Those guys aren't really celebrated like the, you know, late 80s cast, and even like the Will Ferrell, like that, you know, that second like era that came after they got rid of all those guys from the 90s. I feel like that cast is celebrated, but I feel like that middle 90s or early 90s cast is not really talked about too much on the show.
Do you think that it's because that there's some, you know, that it's a thing about SNL that whatever, it doesn't hold up or whatever, or it's those cast members themselves? Because I feel like if Adam Sandler had wanted to guest host or do a cameo to produce, you know, what was it, Grown Ups 2, they would have cleared the red carpet and, you know, they would have bumped many different guests to get him to come back to host. At least that's what I think. So I wonder how much of it is due to that.
I wonder if there's some sort of politics of Adam Sandler went out and did all of his movies not through like the Lorne Michaels thing, and he sort of like went out and did everything on his own and then brought those guys into his Happy Madison world, which I kind of feel like runs independently of the Lorne Michaels world.
Yes. Yes, yes, and that would make a lot of sense. You know, I could definitely see that. Yeah,
yeah. It would be very, very fun to see Adam Sandler return to the show at some point.
That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
but I don't know what has to happen first for that to happen.
Right, exactly. I don't know who who's stopping that, and I'm guessing it's him. But at what point does a studio say, "Dude, you need to come back"? I don't know.
Well, he runs his own thing, so it would be very, very tough. He has to want to do it, you know.
Right, 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 yeah.
But very interesting. So, yeah, Chris Rock would be very fun to see host the show again.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, a lot of those. I mean, I'd love to see Norm MacDonald host the show. I mean, how great would that
yes.
be?
But well, he's part of that, you know, sort of 90s era.
Right.
That, you know, he's in the same clique.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't see him ever coming back.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So in a couple of weeks, we're gonna have Pitbull as host and musical guest. Drake.
We're having Drake's Cakes. I think they're gonna. The monologue is gonna be performed by
Got
a yodel.
To love the Drake.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. But I think he was a musical guest a few years ago with Anna Faris.
You hate the Drake?
I don't know. I have no opinion about Drake. So, okay.
Love the Drake.
Yeah. All right. If that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Sure.
Do you feel like that's a big step to have Drake as a host and musical guest? I mean, are more and more people trying to take the Justin Timberlake? I mean, it feels like this is a thing. Bruno Mars last year with Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga.
Yep.
It seems like if you're a musical act, you need to now host SNL solo. Did Katy Perry do it also?
She has done it. The last time she was only a musical guest, but she has hosted the show.
Yeah. So I feel like this is becoming a thing.
This is very much a thing. I don't know that I would say it's a good thing, but I think it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I don't. I also think very odd whether, you know, there, you know, we haven't talked too much about the idea that I was just looking actually when Katy Perry was the host, she was not the musical guest. So she has never done double duty. So
got it. Whatever.
That, you know, we have all of this, I think, mostly media inflated issue about there not being a black female cast member on the show. You know, I don't know how many people read about the fact that there were a supposedly secret auditions at the Groundlings Theater for a female black comedian to be a featured player. I don't know how secret it was when they allowed one of the women to tweet out a live photo of it, which if it was a secret would have completely blacklisted her from being on the cast, so I'm sure it wasn't that secret, but you know, very no pun intended.
Yes.
Exactly. But odd in that, you know, there was that whole sort of a this was almost a non-issue that, you know, a few months ago that Keenan had said some stuff that was a little weird. And then the unfortunate timing of having Kerry Washington, a black actress, host that next show made it a thing. So now we're going to have a black musician host in January. I feel like either we're going to see a black female featured player in that episode, or this is just really poor marketing and press corporate communications on the NBC Lorne Michaels Broadway Video thing, because I think it's just going to start that conversation all over again. And instead of dying, it's just going to continue.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe they will already have a new cast member in place by that point, and then it will be a non-issue.
Yeah, which is, I'm guessing, what they're sort of. That's where they're sort of headed to. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Real quick, Rich. Anything from the John Goodman episode that stood out to you one way or another?
Yeah, no, a couple of things, and I'll keep it quick. But the interesting thing, and I'm very interested in your perception. I watched this episode, and at the end, thought, meh, that really wasn't a very good episode. And then went back and thought, oh, there were a number of things that I actually really liked on this. So very odd for me. I would say I really liked the Dance of the Snowflakes.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to start. I was like, oh, it's a voiceover sketch. I hate voiceover sketches on live TV. But there was something about it that just it executed so well, and everybody was funny. So I really liked that. That was one of the sketches that I really liked.
Yeah. What about the Three Wise Guys?
Oh, boy. You know what's interesting is I actually went back and watched it a second time, and I actually thought it was fairly well written. I thought in the hands of actual cast members, this would have been a good bit. Yeah, it was Stallone was probably worse than De Niro in it. And I felt bad or whatever that, you know, the guys are coming on SNL to promote their movie Grudge Match. Obviously, what they're trying to do is show that they're relevant and hip and funny. And then they probably didn't do a rehearsal. They probably didn't memorize the lines at all. And they came off very unhip and very unfunny. So I think that they did more damage to Grudge Match than they helped that. One of the other sketches that I really liked and I didn't get a chance to post on Facebook, but it was one of my favorite sketches, was at the end of the night. It was the Donnelly sketch, John Goodman and Kate McKinnon as the last two at the bar, drunk, sort of making out with each other. Just real strong proof that just Kate McKinnon, and this had nothing to do with John Goodman. This was all Kate McKinnon. Great performance, great character, very funny lines, great physical comedy with them putting whipped cream on each other and then licking it off. It was just everything about this was funny. So I'm sure we'll see that again in an earlier time slot. Very, very funny.
And thumbs up or thumbs down for Drunk Uncle?
You know what? I would say Drunk Uncle, thumbs up. Drunker Uncle thumbs down. But I do, as I think we said the last time we saw Drunk Uncle, I think they have cracked the writing on this so it doesn't just feel like a repetitive list of hip social media things out of date. And I think they did a really good job with it.
Yeah.
And also big thumbs up to Black Santa Claus. Again, Keenan, kind of on fire, did a really great black whatever. So and huge thumbs down to John Goodman being in drag again for some weird courtroom sketch that just felt like we have no way to get Linda Tripp back because no one remembers her, but we're still gonna do John Goodman in a dress. But you know, some funny stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Keenan is gonna be our most improved of 2013.
He's running with it. He's, you know, interesting that he's taken the you know, without Sudeikis and Hader and Fred Armisen and, it, you know, Keenan is not going away lightly.
Yeah, he is the elder statesman, and he is planting his flag this season.
And I think, being the most senior guy, I think he's now, for doing the show, I now think he gets 3 fedoras a week.
Oh, my God.
He's really holding their feet to the fire.
Let me ask you one last question that I forgot to ask you earlier in the show. So it was only a couple of weeks ago when Lady Gaga hosted. She had like 2 separate jokes about Madonna that were in the show. And, you know, Lady Gaga and Madonna, you know, allegedly have this feud, which I've heard Lady Gaga and Howard Stern say is completely one-sided. It's only Madonna talking about taking shots at her. She doesn't care about Madonna. Now, only a month later, here comes Madonna to Saturday Night Live to sort of plant her flag a little bit more, mark her territory a little bit. Do you think that was a coincidence?
You know, I didn't know about the feud, so I'm hearing about this in real time. That would make sense. Interesting if that's true, that she did not make a shot at Lady Gaga unless the grill that she put in her mouth was some weird reference to some vague thing that no one else remembers about Lady Gaga. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the move on Madonna's part.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Celebrity boxing in the future?
Ooh, you know, and I would say if that was a chance to sort of be relevant, aim, fire, and miss.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rich, we will be back in – what do you think they'll do? Do you think they'll do 2 in a row in January?
That's my guess, yeah. That's my guess.
And then a week or two off and then come back. They won't be on during the Winter Olympics. But then they'll do a show the night of the closing ceremonies. Does that sound right?
That makes sense, especially because we're out of the Olympics. We're going to have Late Night with Seth Meyers, and we're going to have the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. So they're going to have to use SNL as a promotional vehicle to get into that.
Is closing ceremonies typically, is that Saturday or Sunday?
You are asking the wrong guy.
Okay, I'm trying to remember exactly from 4 years ago with the Winter Olympics, but I don't know.
I could not tell you.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. Keep it posted. Follow Rob Sesternino on Twitter and follow at Rich Tack. Rich, I've seen you a little more active on the Twitter lately.
I'm trying. That's what the kids like. So I'm trying with the Instagram and the Twitter and the tweets and the. I am a little bit like drunk uncle on my iPhone, but I'm getting on board. I'm in.
All right. Sounds good. Rich, have a happy new year.
And to you, enjoy the rest of your trip, and I will we'll talk to you back when you're in Los Angeles again.
All right, talk to you again soon.
Cool.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Rich Tackenberg here with us on the SNL podcast. All right, I've said it a couple times on these last few podcasts. I think this is going to be the last podcast of 2013, but you never know. I may get inspired at some point before I go back to Los Angeles after the holidays. So if you missed our Rob Has a Podcast holiday special, Happy Holidays 2, lots of surprises for you in that podcast. I'm not going to tell you one thing that happens on that show. You can hear it at robhasawebsite.com. And, of course, we have our holiday movie cast with Ian Terry as well on robhasawebsite.com. So if you want to catch up on any of those podcasts, they're there for you on the website. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the new podcasts coming, go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to subscribe in iTunes. So have a very Merry Christmas if that's your thing. And also, if not, then maybe you just have a couple days off from work. That's cool, too. Best to you and your families. And if I don't talk to you before then, have a very happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.